Thanks. Well, great to be with everybody this morning. Today I want to talk a little bit on getting a grip of God, getting a grip on hope. So when I was sent the PowerPoint across to Chris, he said, why don't you define what getting a grip means? What does having a grip mean? So I'm going to got a little video that helps us understand that getting a grip means holding fast, holding firmly to something, both physically, mentally, and intellectually. Chris, could you play a little video for us? Thank you. So I think gives us a bit of an illustration about holding on, holding firmly. It's about that mental and intellectual holding on as well. So today we're going to look at getting a grip of God, getting a grip of hope and on hope. So what I plan to do is we're going to read something from the Bible to help us understand that. Then we're going to look at what that means for the Judah and the Babylonian and how they were repressed, how they remembered God in the context of the reading, and lessons we can have on learning to get a grip of God and learning to strengthen our grip. That's what I aim to do. We'll see if we manage it during the next few moments. When I was thinking about this last night, I always find and the introduction is probably the hardest part of any talk for me. And I was thinking, you know, when it's about me, I'm in trouble. But when it's about God and who he is and knowing who he is, then I find security, love, I find confidence, I find acceptance, I learn of his mercy and of God's love and forgiveness. And I mean, I think that's the same with God. It's the same, certainly, in our marriage together. When it's about Jeremy, then I'm in trouble. When it's about Sue and making sure and loving her, then it's much better. When it's about God, things are better in my life. So I'm going to ask Sue to read a passage from Lamentations, and then I'll explain a little bit what was happening around this period of time.
Okay, so this reading is from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19 to 25, and it's from the Message translation. I'll never forget the trouble, the utter lostness, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember the feeling of hitting the bottom. But there's one thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. God proves to be good to the man who passionately waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. It's a good thing to quietly hope for help from God. It's a good thing when you're young to stick it out through hard times.
Great, thank you. So it was good this week to have coffee with Bill. We were chatted around a whole range of subjects, but we did also talk about, one of the things we talked about was Judah being taken into captivity. And I confidently told him that Assyria took Judah into captivity. And he looked at me quizzically and said, "Really?" And so we looked it up again. And of course, Babylon took Judah into captivity. And this is the setting from which this is all taking place. Judah is being taken into captivity. Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, is on the throne, and things aren't going well. They've taken their eyes off God, and God is judging them. And the army of Babylon is coming along, and they're huddled in Jerusalem. They're under siege. They're under siege for 2 years, and around 586 BC. And you can read the full story in 2 Kings chapter 25. But you can see from that, at that point, there was brutality, there was murder, there was rape. Things weren't good in the city. It was under attack, and people were feeling fearful. The king, in fact, when the Babylonians got in, they killed his sons in front of him, and then they gouged his eyes out and took him into captivity. So at this point, the people and the king had taken their eyes off God and made it more about themselves. And they needed to get a grip back onto God, get their focus back onto God's. In summary, they were suffering at the hands of a brutal enemy. But at that time, they did remember. They remembered who God was and what he had done and what he had said to them in the past. They began to understand who the character of God, his love, his faithfulness, and his promises. And despite everything that was happening around them, they are still true for them at this time. They began to remember their role in as Israel, as a nation, that they'd be given through Abraham, and that God had given them a promise to bless them and to bless the, and give them a land of inheritance, to bless all nations. That was God's promise through Abraham, was to bless all the nations. And you can see those promises made out in Genesis chapter 15 and chapter 17. They had become a nation that had been in the past rescued, brought out of slavery. Brought out of slavery and brought into a promised land. They remember when they were brought out of that slavery and out of that captivity. And they remembered that that was their history and God's promises. And they began to trust in God, began to remember intellectually where they were within him. And that because they, although they had lost their focus at this time, they were beginning to refocus, get a regrip onto what God had done. And despite all that happened in Babylon, the siege, the occupation, and the exile, God had faithfully kept a remnant of his people. And we learn from Lamentation that even amongst the most dire circumstances, God still keeps his promises. And the people get hope when they get a grip on God and his promises. Promises to bless the nations and to rescue his people. They remind themselves of what God did for them in rescuing them in the past. And they recall that he has made his promises and they can apply them to their lives. They remember what God has said. They remember what God has said to Moses when he said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. They get a hold of the character and love of God. You know, just as we remind ourselves today of the rainbow, we've been using that all over this pandemic. The rainbow has been a symbol of hope, but it also symbolizes the love of God and God's promises. I remember a time, I don't know if you remember, Donna, you took a picture or maybe you told us about a double rainbow, a double promise, a double remembering of what God has for us. When the people got a grip of God and on the Lord, they fixed their minds and their eyes on him, not on themselves. And when they did that, they got a grip on hope. The truth is, when we take our eyes and lose our grip, or even just loosen our grip, we find it hard to have hope. You know, you can see the guy climbing up the rock face. You know, he has to keep a tight hold. And I think God is encouraging us to keep a tight hold, not to let go, not even to loosen. A loosened grip in that point, as Sue was saying to me, one slip and he's down, he's dead. You know, we need to keep a tight hold of God, not only physically, and not on grip, we're holding on for grim death, but we are putting our hope in God. Because we know what he's done in the past, what he's promised us, what he's promised for each one of us and for the nation and for God's people. Promised to bless all nations. Here the people remembered and they got a grip of God's promises and a ray of hope came into their lives. Even in the midst of suffering, there is hope. Hope is at the heart of the message of Jesus. His kingdom has come and we can live in his promises. And over the coming weeks, we're going to look more specifically at promises which we can get a grip of for our lives to help us develop our faith and increase our hope. You know, we're fortunate today we have the whole Bible, which is full of detail of God's character, his love, his justice, his mercy, and his grace. It is all about God. It's all about him. And when we make it about something else other than ourselves, other than God, make it about ourselves, then we start to lose our grip. But when we make it about God, we get a fresh grip. So what can we learn, even in the darkest places, the faithfulness of God, his love endures. He provides fresh blessings every day. And it's true, and many of you have heard our stories before of going through difficult times of both at work and personally and in our family life where things have been not as we would have wanted them to be. You know, when we've had disappointments and we've suffered loss, we have known right at that point that God has walked with us You know, we didn't want to go through those particular points of despair, but we knew that at those times God was with us. His love was with us. It was new every morning as we woke up. We could feel the presence of God with us. Whatever was happening around us, we could feel the love of God around us. You know, and actually God speaks through suffering and distress. Sometimes he just wants to get our attention, but he wants us to remember his love, his character, and understand how faithful and compassionate he is for us and to us. When we get a grip of God, we get to know him better. We see his love, his faithfulness, and it gets stronger in our hearts. We can be people full of hope, and we can carry his hope confidently because we remember his promises. You know, some of us have promises that we say, this is a promise for my life. But actually, these promises are promises that we read in the Bible about God's love, about his faithfulness, about his care, his compassion, his justice. These are the things that we need to get a hold of. They're not just passing in the fleeting glimpse. They are rock solid. They are for us to hold on to. We can trust them. We have to remember that God promises to bless the nations right back in time of Abraham. And we are part of that fulfillment. We're here to bless others, to bless this nation, and to bless other nations. And even during this pandemic, God offers hope to those who get a grip of him. Our hope and faith lie in recognizing God is God, and that our life and the world are in his hands. I read this morning in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. He believed God would give life where there was none. We believe Jesus was risen from the dead. And in both cases, it is about recognizing that God is God, and our life and the life of the world are in his hands. In doing this, we get a grip on God, and our hope is firm and secure. God is God. He is first. When I put myself first, my grip loosens and my hope drifts. When God is first, my hope strengthens. Amen. Amen. What I suggest we could do now is and ask Chris to split us into some groups and just have a look at maybe one or two questions around this. What does it mean for me personally to get a grip of God? Or if that doesn't appeal to you as a question, you could maybe answer, how would you describe your own grip of God and hope? And what would you like to see develop? So, Chris, if you could split us into some rooms, that would be amazing.
Just give me a sec. I'm just assigning.
Yeah, I know that.
It takes a little.
That's good. Very good.
Hello, Chris, Rhea. Hey. How about you, Mrs. Ace?
All right, good. Thanks. Hello.
I've lost somebody.
Lost Michelle.
Lost Michelle.
Luke's group.
Where have they gone?
Luke,
I don't know where
they found someone else's.
Michelle was mid sentence.
Was she? Yeah. Oh. Here they come.
Is there a button that says give us an extension? That
yeah, like with a dissertation.
Maybe they just stopped on their own. Good. Here they come.
Okay.
Hey, you're back.
I don't know what happened there. That was a bit odd. Normally you come straight back into the main meeting, but it didn't happen. But anyway.
Our hope was not diminished. All we had to press the right button.
Wow, that was great. We had a really great discussion there, so I hope you all took something positive and hopeful and usable. That's the whole point, I think, is that we want to, whatever we look at from the Bible, God wants it to be usable in our lives and to help us develop and grow. So are we getting feedback, Jeremy, or are we not?
If you would like to.
Anybody like to give some feedback on something that impacted them, something they've learned or that they're going to take forward from today?
I like Christoph said something, I wrote it down, quite profound. He said hope is about now looking forward based on looking in the past, remembering.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I wrote something down about remembering being really important. Then it's that whole thing is the more we look back and remember what God's done, it gives us hope to look forward for the future. Yeah.
Julian had a great point regarding the thinking of the guy on the rock face, that Jean was so worried about the guy who's going to fall. Julian commented about having 3 points of contact is important if you're climbing. So not just have one, no, but be stable on that rock face. You know, be stable and not just stand on one leg on the cornerstone, but really firmly rooted. It's blowing a bit of a gale here, so being firmly rooted and standing out, you know, if you're standing outside in Durham at the moment, you might get blown over. Being firm and firmly rooted would be really cool. Michelle's nudging me to say something that I mentioned in our little group when Jeremy was speaking. I wrote this down. It says, when we take our eyes off God, hope falls just before we do. When we take our eyes off God, hope falls just before we do. I encourage you then to keep your eyes on God. Not just one point of contact, but many points of contact. Look at the Word of God. Remember His promises. If you're not sure of the promises, have a look at some of the promises. That He's faithful, that He never leave us. He's for us and not against us. He's slow to get angry and He's swift to bless. And that we can call on Him at any time, day or night. Set good things into practice. Jean, when she in our group, she goes to sleep listening to worship music. She wakes up listening to worship music. What a great way to start your day. What a great way. So if there's nothing else, I think we're finished. If there's nothing else. Not sure what the birthday situation is, I think we've run out of chocolate, so it must be time for a birthday.
It is nearly time for a birthday.
Is it nearly time for a birthday?
Just checking my calendar there. There is a birthday approaching.
Is it a significant birthday, Michelle? We'll have to wait till next time. We'll have to wait. So, if there's nothing else, our meeting is officially over, but please hang around. Continue to chat amongst yourselves. And if you need to go to have breakfast, lunch, dinner, tea, go to bed, wake up, off you go. You can go, but we'll see you next week if you don't hang around. Bless you.
Yes, bless you.
All right. I'll head off. Bye.
Bye, Bill.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
How's this week? Heng Fei, you moved house this week? Yes?
Sorry?
Did you move house this week?
Yes.
And how are you settling in?
I think almost done everything, yeah. It would take time for the baby to like the new home.
Yeah. She's a little bit unsettled, is she?
Yeah.
But everything went well. You managed.
It's quite good.
I
like this place.
Bye, Chris.
Bye, Chris.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.